From grandmothers who whispered in their baby girl ear, to fathers on dimly lit street corners instructing young soldiers to always keep their eyes open. You be queen. You were fire. You were passed through centuries on the hands of your daughters. They called you wisdom. Proverbs. On the backs of diamond-eyed school children who grew into hymnals recited by amethyst-holding urban philosophers who recited neighborhood commandments out of the windows of restored El Camino chariots to keep the warmth in their blood. Be wise. Be smart. Be black opal, brown quartz, bloodstone, and prayer. Be every form of gem. See, king told scribe, scribe told son, son told wife, wife told her daughter, and daughter told the ancestors, and the ancestors told me that you would come to give wisdom to thousands. They said you would come, dropping gem, dropping gem.
Welcome to the Dropping Gems podcast. Hey, it's Debbie Brown. I'm your host for this show. Today is going to be so fun. We talk a lot on this show about processes, you know, and if you have connected to earlier episodes that we've done, and also if you connect with me on Instagram, one theme that you might notice is that I am someone that loves to deep dive into myself constantly. I am constantly learning about me, telling me about me, excavating me, savoring me, and I'm always really open to all the tools that feel like a fit that can possibly get me there. And so a little fun fact about me is that I've actually been connecting to intuitive work, to birth charting work, my entire life. I think, you know, some of my early sessions probably started around the age of 18. And so I've been slowly collecting little tidbits about me. And, you know, of course, we can only rise to the occasion based on our level of healing. And so these are pieces and processes that I revisit, that I deepen in over my entire lifespan. And at this moment, what feels really good is that I'm noticing being in a really deep synchronistic flow with my destiny, with my dharma, with my purpose. And some of the tools that help get me there are really checking in with the beautiful spiritual sciences that are available to us. You know, getting different readings done with trusted sources, with people who use their gifts with integrity and with grace and with beauty, it really aids you in building your spiritual confidence. When your spiritual confidence feels more built, that means when we can really zoom out of the way that the world sees us and begin to see maybe what are some destiny markers. What are some God markers in our lives? And we start to notice what is our innate nature and how does it line up with what our destiny may actually be revealing itself to be. We are able to sink into this kind of confidence that is unshakable, unfadable, indestructible. And when we lock into that piece of us, it really allows us to feel far more free and powerful in the work that we do in the world and in the work that we do with ourselves. It really gives you a deeper empowerment. So on today's show, we have an expert of that, and I'm really excited to share her with you. And you may have heard of this modality before, human design, and been curious about it. And so I'm excited to explore that with you today. So on today's show, we have Erin Claire Jones. Erin Claire Jones uses human design to help thousands of individuals and companies step into their work and their lives as their truest selves and to the highest potential. Her work as a guide, coach, and speaker has attracted a growing community of over 100,000 people who turn to her teachings for practical tools, digestible tips, and deeper self-knowledge that they can access to live with greater ease and authenticity every single day. With work featured in Forbes, MindBodyGreen, Well and Good, and Nylon, words shared on over 100 podcasts, such as Almost 30, That's So Retrograde, Highest Self, and Chatty Broads, and conversations with crowds of hundreds around the world. Aaron's insights are highly sought after because they make human design pragmatic, tangible, accessible, and immediately applicable to everyday life. So a little bit about human design. It's a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science that sheds light on a person's energetic makeup, as well as specific tools that they can use to live at their happiest, healthiest, highest potential. It doesn't change who they are. It teaches them who they are. It offers insight into what's possible, and it highlights the significance of understanding and living as the fullest expression of themselves. By putting this tool to work in her own life, Erin is showing the world a new way of work, a new path towards success, and a new perspective on living as you truly are. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show, Erin. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
So Erin, something that I have shared on this show and something that, you know, I just really briefly spoke to was the immense amount of freedom investigating yourself in this way can really bring you. What I found is by doing more of this explorative work, especially around our really unique birth time, birth date, birth location, using that spiritual science of astrology and using really like more deep psychological process, it gives such an ease to life. And I feel like it really brings forward the kind of spiritual confidence that allows you to really settle into all the other work we may be doing on ourselves so much more easily and gracefully and impactfully. I'm so excited to talk to you today because I feel like this, the work that you do and the work that you bring forward in the world, it is such a powerful tool to mastery. And I think it really takes so much of the pressure off when it comes to us really looking at ourselves, knowing ourselves, and understanding how to work with the energetic potential we have access to.
Totally. I love that. You know, I think that, you know, human design more than anything else just gives us permission to be ourselves. And I think you're so right that, like, I think when we have a language and a framework to understand how we uniquely operate, there is a bit more ease because yes, there might be moments of challenge 100%, but I think when we're operating in alignment and in authenticity, then like we're able to move through those things so much better. And I just feel like so many of us, I know that I was like, are just trying to be everything that we're not. And I think human design just like returns us exactly to who we are and reminds us that we are all meant to build businesses and partner and parent and collaborate differently. And the more we own that, the more flow we find.
So perfectly said. Yeah. And I think too, like even by the idea of ease, it's like it gives you, you just understand that you've never been getting anything wrong. You know, like to your point of everything you just said, I think the way that we interpret society and life, our family systems, there is this inherent battle against what we are perceiving or putting under a definition of unworthiness, brokenness, something being wrong about us. And it's really just perhaps we are working with the wrong set of instructions for how we were meant to operate in the world.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I just think that like, and it's so much, I just feel like we experience so much resistance when we do that. Like I know when I first discovered my human design, what I felt more than anything and what I see my clients feel more than anything is just relief. It's like, oh my gosh, I've spent so much of my life trying to be everything that I'm not. Are you really telling me I'm going to be exactly who I am? You know? And I think it is like, I think of human design more than anything else as like an operating manual. It's just like giving each person the manual to you. And it's so powerful, obviously on an individual level, but then like on a relational level, like understanding your kids and your parents and your partner and your team and just like honoring the fact that we're all wired so differently. And again, the more we lean into that, the more one success we'll find individually, but also the more connection we'll find kind of with others.
Ah, I love that. And we're going to dive into mine too. So I'm excited because we get to like,
I've got it up.
I'm going to share with everyone and use myself as the example, kind of how this process works and how you'd really begin the investigation with self. And I just highly recommend for everyone listening, especially if this is something that you have not done yet or you haven't really investigated yet, come into your heart space and really come into it from a place of expansion and non-judgment. And I think, you know, I just want to add too, before we get going, like, I love this, and I love this work. I love knowing about me. And that, I think, is the hack for me on how to move through life. Like, I keep a book of myself, and I keep a book of my son. And in it, I keep all the readings that I've ever done. And also, so cool. I've done my birth charting through, like, the Vedic system, also the Yodish system. And I've, you know, had different interpretations. And so I kind of keep this book of me. And it gives me more access, especially if I'm in the midst of processing something, to really revisit that and kind of savor how I can move through this based on my unique recipe and formula. And it's been really helpful for my son, and he's only three. So, you know, lots of life ahead, but to just anchor in, okay, are the decisions that I'm making for him based on me? Or are they rooted in who he actually is, his soul's unique destiny, and his personal operating system? And so that's something I'm really looking forward to continue to pour into. And in that space, and if there's any parents listening that feel called to do this, I highly recommend. I just have this little book of quest, and it's his birth chart reading in there. I will be getting his human design, so maybe we can offline about that. And also his mantra and different things that are related to his individual recipe. So I'm excited. First, Erin, I would love to start with, I would love to know how you came to this work, and if you could give us some background really on the structure of human design and how it operates.
Yes, absolutely. And just in response to what you just shared, I just want to say that, like, parenting, human design and parenting is probably the most powerful application. You know, I think that just because when you really are giving kids permission to be who they are from day one, it is so transformative, you know? And so I just love that you're aware of your son's design and becoming aware, because often when we discover human design, we've spent a lifetime trying to, you know, not be that thing. And so when you're really giving them that permission to be them from day one, it's so powerful. And also just in response to, like, the open-hearted, expansive approach, you know, I know that human design might feel like a little bit woo-woo or mystical to some, and it is, but I also just want to remind y'all that, like, I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. Like, I think the question to ask yourself is not, like, is this true, but, like, is it helpful? Like, take what resonates and feels supportive and useful, and, like, let go of the rest. You know, it is a tool like many others that we have, but I think just, like, engaging with it in a more loose, open way, and knowing that, like, it's meant to be it's meant to be a tool that empowers you and not limits you in any way. So
yeah, thank you for saying your question. That. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because I think that's something I really love leaning into as well. It's like, none of this needs to be validated. Like, my truth doesn't have to be yours, and that's okay, but it could be valuable. And so if it is, pick it up. If it doesn't feel like it, set it down, you know, but I love it. So I'm gonna keep using these tools.
I just have, like, so many skeptics that are just like, I don't want to believe this. If this is amazing and it's explaining my entire life, so tell me everything, you know? So I just think it's really around, like, engaging with it in a way where it's just like, if it feels useful, lean in, you know, if it doesn't, let it go. To your question of my origin and the origin of human design. So, you know, just for those who are new, I imagine many of you are, human design is a system based on your exact time, date, and place of birth. And the idea is that it gives you your energetic blueprint. What I mean by that is how you're wired to make decisions and parent and work within teams and partner and collaborate and all the things. Like we've been talking about, more than anything, it just gives us permission to be ourselves and the tools to really step into it. It is known as a quantum system, meaning it pulls from a lot of different systems, from astrology, from the I Ching, from the Kabbalah, from the chakra system, from quantum physics, from genetics, from biochemistry. So it really is here to kind of, like, weave it all together to give us, like, a blueprint to how we operate at our best. And there are so many different configurations, and it really just, like, showcases our uniqueness and reminds us how different we each are. I have been working with human design for 6 years now. I discovered it very serendipitously. I live in New York. And I was sitting at a gathering and literally had a stranger sit next to me and say, do you know your human design? Can I tell your human design? I had never heard of it before. He gave me, like, a little mini reading on the spot, and, like, my jaw was just on the floor because it felt like he gave language to my experience, but it was also very confronting because I was like, I'm not living any of that. And he ended the conversation by being like, I think that you should do this, and I think that we should work together. He'd been studying for years. And so he, like, quite literally invited me into human design, and my whole design is about being invited in. So I worked with him for 2 years and then have been doing it now on my, had my own practice since 2018. And now my fiance is my business partner. So it's been a wild journey. And there's a lot in there, but that's kind of the piece. And I will just say the before human design, I was always interested in different modalities and ways of understanding ourselves. But I had never discovered anything like human design, and it offered a practical, grounded way of communicating that was so appealing to me. And my background is in startups and business. And I think that I observed a lot of dysfunction in the companies that I worked with. So I was always curious to explore tools that would not only help us be more in alignment individually, but also help us work together more effectively.
That is so beautiful. I love that so much. And I, you know, especially for any bosses we have listening or people with businesses, it's so tremendous to apply this type of spiritual technology to the work that you do. Apply it to your business. Apply it to how you even vet employees. Definitely how you vet lovers.
100%.
It can be so powerful. Should we like unpack mine?
Oh my God. Are you ready? Yeah, let's do it. So tell me how familiar you are with your design. Cause you've had a reading before. Is that right?
I have had a reading before, not a super intensive reading. And so I do feel like really excitedly fresh, for your insight and your perspective on this. I have a lot of background. I believe I know what my basic is, but I'm going to hold that until you explain it.
Cool.
But I've done quite a bit with like probably every personality test that's available. And also amazing. I'm deeply familiar with my birth chart in the different and the different charting systems that are available.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, so just so people know, before we get into yours, you know, there are five different types in human design. There's so much underneath type, but that's just the first distinction. And so I'm sure we can put a link in the show notes, but if you want to look up your design, you can go to erinclarajones.com/lookup. It's going to look crazy and not very intuitive looking, you know, but just know that like, you're not meant to get it immediately. So the five types are generators, manifesting generators, projectors, reflectors, and manifestors. So let me tell you about your type and just like mention the other ones and then go deeper into your design. Does that sound good? Okay. So you're a generator. Does that feel familiar? Is that what you found before? Okay. Fabulous. So basically generators are really here to be like creative doers. You really are kind of meant to have the energy to build and create and make things happen. An ideal day for you might look like one where you wake up in the morning with a full tank of energy. You use up your energy in very satisfying ways throughout the day based on like what you're working on and who you're spending time with. And you drop into bed like exhausted and fulfilled. And one of the biggest lessons for you is around-
That so feels like my day.
Okay. So aligned, you know, the idea is that actually if you're not using up your energy, it's like actually hard to sleep. You might feel like really restless when you go to bed. Like it's by exhausting your tank that you're able to like sleep soundly, but it is like exhausting in ways that feel good, you know? And so much of the lesson for you is around prioritizing your own joy and your own desires. Because you have such natural vitality and energy and life force, people can sense it and want to take advantage of it. And not like in a malicious way, they just sense your capacity and your design in particular. Like I can imagine a lot of people would like want to have you around. Maybe your job is just to be like, but I'm not available for everyone. And like, I know that when I'm lit up and excited, it will be like, I will be on fire. But like, if it's anything but that, it's not the right thing or not the right time yet. You know, so boundaries is 100% one of your biggest lessons in terms of just like really, again, letting your excitement, your desire, your joy guide you and not doing things just because you think you should.
Oh my God. That is,
how does that all feel?
Oh my God. I mean, read me. Like that is so, yeah, that's so accurate. And you know, it's what's so interesting. And even hearing that reflected to me, because I think sometimes when people go in and they get maybe readings or processes, but they're not fully familiar with it, or maybe have not activated all of their healing, this information sometimes you can feel limited by it, because maybe the processes to disarming yourself have not been begun or deepened. And so if I had heard this reading maybe 10 years ago, it would have felt really foreign and unfamiliar. But based on my spiritual practice that I have now and so much of the healing work I've done around how I deem myself worthy, how I experience myself, it's so interesting to hear that reflection, because you know, if I was in maybe more of a toxic position with myself, and toxic actually sounds a bit too harsh, but if I were in a different place with my self-understanding, I'd hear generator and I'd interpret that as I'm meant to be grinding. So I got to be out there. I got to be working so hard. I got it. I have to martyr myself, right? And so that might have been an interpretation from a less healed space. Then the version of me now, it's like, and I just for everyone, I want to kind of push in like Aaron's insight with what my day looks like so you can see in a tangible way how this kind of shows up. So spot on. Like I wake up at 5 o'clock every day and now I can't even help it. I have a 3-year-old, so that's part of it. But I wake up and I am literally so alive for life. And I, what I've switched with myself though is previous Debbie that wore the badge of busy used to say every second is filled with a meeting. Every second is filled with ideating. I'm doing. Now I'm going to bed and I have nothing left for myself. Whereas now the way that I show up as a generator is I have my little, you know, my little boxes for the work I'm accomplishing for the day, but my day is rooted in joy and creativity. Very robust, very full, but I am ideating with self in a way that feels serving, not in a way that's performing or trying to deliver for others.
Yeah.
And then I'm usually in bed by 9 and like my, I do an evening spiritual practice from about 7 to 9, sometimes 7 to 10. I am knocked out and I sleep soundly through the night. And so when I'm hearing you reflect this on me, it's actually also me taking a moment to be like, wow, thank you, God. Like, thank you, life, that I have settled into a flow that's in harmony with who I'm actually called to be.
I love that so much, you know, and I think it is also knowing that it's like when you're like prioritizing creativity and joy in that way, like it just gives you more, way more energy and like way more momentum and makes you so much more magnetic, you know? And so, and I also so appreciate your reflection of how, on how it lands now versus 10 years ago, because I find like the more we are living this stuff naturally, which just organically happens through just knowing ourselves and like personal development, the more this, we just recognize this in ourselves. We're like, yep, you know? And so often it's just like a validation, but it can be confronting because there are also ways in which we may not be living it, but I love to hear that you are like living it so fully. And some of the language in human design isn't always so intuitive. Like the generator is kind of a weird name, but it is like basically just that you're like a pure life force. Like you just have like so much creative power when you're excited and lit up, but it's all about like following your joy, satisfaction, desires.
Wow. So if someone was out of alignment, how could that show up for them? Like if they were a generator and they are really supposed to be working with this kind of creative, vital life force energy, but perhaps there are some blockages, how would that, what would that look and feel like to be kind of fighting your nature?
They would likely feel like really depleted, really drained, not feel like they really have access to that vitality, that kind of energy and that joy, because they are overextending themselves doing things they don't actually enjoy, you know, not really kind of like listening to their gut. And that's often where a lot of people are, you know? And so even you can start doing it in small ways of just being like, okay, how could I prioritize my joy like a little bit more each day? Like maybe I'm in a job that I don't enjoy that I can't leave immediately, but how can I prioritize my own excitement like in the mornings or in the evenings or on the weekends? And like, it doesn't even have to be career related. Like just like choosing to prioritize what excites you will make you the most magnetic to the most aligned opportunities, you know? So even just like in small pockets can be a beautiful start, but out of alignment would definitely be around like depletion, exhaustion, just resistance. Like just things are like not flowing in your life.
Thank you.
So I want to share one more piece about the generator, and then I'll just like share little tidbits on each type so people can find their own. So every type in human design will have a strategy. And so your strategy is called waiting to respond, but I usually call that magnetism. It basically means that you're not really meant to chase after anything. Like life is meant to come to you, and your work is to keep your awareness open and see what shows up in your world. As soon as something shows up and your gut like expands in response to it, you can go after that thing and make it happen. Like, it's not like you need to be invited in. Like you might be like, ooh, this system, I've got to go like make it happen. But I think it's like waiting for things to light you up rather than like initiate, forcing, pushing, like even trying to come up with things out of thin air. Like for you, you're here to be in response to life, you know? So it's not about like sitting by yourself being like, what should I do next? It's more like, let me just be out in the world in my flow, see what shows up, what excites me, and like let that inspire and drive me. How does that feel?
That felt like the song of my heart. Like that felt like deepest truth for me. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so serendipitous to be having this conversation with you. And I'm really grateful. Thank you for sharing this with me. Cause it's so, you know, something we speak to on this show a lot, like the real root and desire of this show is to make higher consciousness really applicable in the small moments of everyday life. And so really bringing it and grounding it down and how can we apply it in what we're doing, especially for those of us that live lives that it's like, I can't just maybe disappear to an ashram or I can't, you know, just go be away from things, but how do I maximize the energetic potential of my life? And so when I'm hearing you say that, it feels like the most delicious confirmation because that is what I have been noticing. And I've been spending a lot of time, I spend a lot of time on my inner child in all the ages, but especially right now, like the last few weeks, Spirit has really connected me to investigating moments of my life that had the momentum that this moment of my life has. And I've been trying to notice the patterns and say, you know, in those moments where I was noticing this kind of forward motion and this kind of ease, how did I respond to it? How did I experience it? How can I be more fully in it now in this moment? And so one of the themes that I was kind of noticing is that really my life path is about feeding and nourishing myself and then making myself available as the opportunity comes to me. And that is the natural flow. And anytime I've tried to fight that, anytime that I have tried to really rigidly control or create something, it's always difficult. It's always a fight. It's always frustrating. It feels unnatural. But sometimes it's literally like I will be sitting and I'll be deep in my own study or, you know, living life to the best of my ability. And then something that is truly the perfect thing will arrive and I'll be ready for it. And so hearing you say that is just so, it always blows me away. It's fascinating and it's so beautiful. And it's such a gift that tools like this exist for us.
I know. I know. It just like gives language to the things that have no language, you know? And like, and I think, and I love what you said around like feeding and nourishing ourselves, like, or for you, like is what makes you available for the right things. And it's so true. It's like, again, it's like feeding and nourishing yourself is what makes you magnetic. And the thing is that like, your mind is really powerful. It's not about like, not your mind that it's not powerful. It's more that like, if you try to control and like obsess about where things are going, like you make yourself unavailable for like all the most magical things that are coming your way. And often like you don't even know what's possible. And it's by like things showing up and tuning into your gut feeling that you're like, that's it. That's where to put my energy. So I love that you're living it. And again, this is not true for everyone. This is very much for like your design. But it's just, it gives us a language for finding a way of flow that really is meant to uniquely work for us.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So
shall I give you, shall I talk?
All the things.
Shall I mention a few about the other types?
Please. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let me just tell you. Okay. So let me just tell you quickly about the other types and then we can go into other layers of your design. So just to give people a taste of what's to be found there. So manifesting generators are in some ways very similar to what I just shared. They are kind of another type of generator. Some people group them together. I would say the difference with manifesting generators is often they're quite multi-passionate. They often like having their energy in a lot of things at once and are kind of often pivoting between different inspirations as they go. So I would just remind any manifesting generators listening, like you're not really meant to stick with the same thing forever. So like if you really feel the energy dwindling, like giving yourself permission to like move on and reinvent yourself, it's so part of your nature. And manifesting generators tend to move very quickly. Like their gift is efficiency, but they can skip a few steps along the way. So good to surround themselves by people that can support them in a step-by-step process. And their strategy, similar to you, is magnetism. They're also here to let things come to them, wait for their gut to activate in response to what shows up and honor that.
Wow.
Then we've got projectors. Projectors are really here to be the leaders, the guides, the advisors, the teachers, not here to do all the doing, you know? So much of being a projector is not trying to keep up with the generators, you know, and just knowing that you bring like a different gift. And so much of your gift as projectors is really around how you see, your sensitivity to other people. Like these people make amazing CEOs, managers, therapists, coaches, guides, like their orientation is towards the other and asking the right questions. As projectors, I'm a projector, so I know this one. so deeply, but our energy is going to ebb and flow. It's not about like using up our energy each day in ways that feel satisfying, but honor the ebbs and flows, like leverage the energy when it's there, rest when it's not, and not trying to do all day long. And often projectors work quite well with people one-on-one. This is not the exclusive expression of our energy, but projectors have a real gift for dialing into people, making them feel deeply recognized and seen. And so our strategy as projectors is about waiting to be recognized and invited in. So not chasing after, but it's not even like for you, you're here to be in response to life. I'm here to actually like wait for an invitation for somebody to be like, hey, I see you, I value you, I recognize you. Will you come share yourself in this space?
Wow. And how, and even hearing you share that with your background, it, what I'm also seeing is like the beautiful, and I hope that everyone listening is kind of seeing those dot connections. And if you follow me on Instagram, I'm always saying, listen to the whispers. And what's so interesting is you just even explained how you entered this moment of your destiny. The person sitting with you invited you in and said, this is this, and let me show you this. And it's how beautiful, like it is the perfect example of purpose and synchronistic flow. Wow.
Totally. And it's like, and I can track back so many experiences in my life where that was happening, but I used to make myself wrong for that. Cause I would often get invited into things, but like, it would just be like, we just want you around. But I'm like, but why? Like, I just like didn't get it. And now it's just like, just trust the invitation, you know, and invest my energy where I feel the most seen. The last piece that I would just share is that this isn't passive. You know, people cannot find you unless you let yourself be seen. So how I found more flow as a projector is that I'm always sharing. I'm sharing on Instagram, on podcasts and newsletters, and not in a super salesy way, but I just like let people know what I'm up to. And like by doing that, it really kind of allows the right people to resonate with and invite me in. So my job is not to push or initiate, but to make myself visible. So then we've got manifestors. Manifestors are the initiators, the ones that are really here to initiate, get the ball rolling. Not always here to do all the doing themselves, but often to get things off the ground. Very innovative, kind of sparky, fiery energy often. And they often need a lot of freedom and autonomy and control, like not here to be told what to do or managed or guided in any way. They might have a lot of energy at the beginning, but aren't always here to do all the doing themselves. They might find that their energy operates in spurts. And so also not here to do. And, you know, we call them innovators in business because they just see where things are going before other people do. And my reminder for the manifestors is that you're just meant to do it so differently. Like you're meant to walk a path that has not been walked before. And so your strategy is about initiating. It's not about letting anything come. It's about like trusting the urges that rise within and just following them. And just making sure that you're communicating to the people around you what you're pursuing and when, just so they can kind of be on your team. If you go start initiating and just like, don't let anyone know, people might really resist you. So just keeping people informed might kind of allow you a lot more flow. And then, do you know what your son is?
I have all his info. I haven't done his human design yet. I don't know what he is.
Yes, it'll be so interesting when you do look. So then the last type is a reflector. Reflectors are basically our collective mirrors, people that are really sensitive to their physical space and just mirroring back any environment they're in. Meant to be such a ruthless curator of the people and, you know, places they're in. This is true for all of us, but they really magnify it all. So it'll be have a really deep impact on them. Reflectors are very fluid. They will have periods where they feel like a generator like you or like a projector like me or like a manifester. And their job is not to figure themselves out or be just one thing, but honor whatever feels like them that day. And they are such natural evaluators. They just see and sense things that so many people miss. So being in spaces where their perspective is so recognized and invited in. So that's just a taste of the different types. We can go back to your design, but just to kind of give people a spread of what the possibilities are there.
Do you see... like if we look at our population, like are there percentages? Like how many people are this? How many people are that?
Yes. So generators, and I just want to say that again, type is the first piece. So if you are like of a higher percentage, it doesn't mean you're not unique. It just means we need this energy a lot. And again, there's so much more nuance underneath it. So generators and manifesting generators collectively make up about 70%. So about 30 to 35 each, because they're the doers, the builders, the creatives, you know, the ones that really bring ideas to life so powerfully. Projectors are about 20%, manifestors about 8 to 9, and reflectors 1%.
Wow, reflectors 1%. That's so interesting.
Yeah. But it is, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, like, I wonder what that personality type looks like in action.
it's hard to, like, I think with a lot of types, I can sense what they might be like, and I'm not always right, but like, I can get a general sense. Reflectors are always hard for me to sense because they're showing up in so many different ways. Like, so much of their magic is like to tap into so many different ways of being. So I wouldn't say there's like a specific personality type, because I think that they are just like, they're very vast in the way that they express themselves. But I will say that like, environment where they might thrive in would be like, say, at a company where they're just in a position where like they're just so respected for their perspective. Like, I often call these people like the CEO whisperers. So it's like you having somebody next to you who's just like witnessing, moving their energy around, sampling, kind of observing it all and reflecting back to you what they see, you know? And so like, whenever I have a reflector around or on my team, I'm asking them questions all the time. I'm like, but what do you see about this? I'm like, what do you think about this? You know? And like, their perspective is just so next level and really helps us progress and evolve, you know? So it's so important to, again, be in those spaces where the perspective is really recognized in that way.
Hold that thought. We are coming right back. Based on the time, this is like always fascinating to me, especially when working with like birth date, birth time. How many minutes for a change? Because I know like in some systems, it's like even down to the minute can change your chart completely.
So it's so dependent on the aspect of the chart. Like, there's aspects of our chart that can speak to like how we best digest food, our ideal environment. That stuff does change like minute by minute. Often stuff around like type or things like those things change slower. So it just depends on kind of what else is shifting in your design. So like, sometimes I'll work with people where like the design shifts a lot over the day. And sometimes I'll work with people like it doesn't shift much at all. So it is super case by case, but I have worked with people that are adopted or don't know their specific time. So in those cases, we'll kind of just like look at how it shifts and see what all the possibilities are and explore them together.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Should we get more into your design?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we all have, you know, there, one other piece that I would really recommend people diving into is something called your inner authority, which is how you best make decisions. And so for you, your decision-making is called sacral in human design. And it means that you're designed to make decisions based on your gut feeling in the moment. And it's a very visceral feeling in your belly that will either give you like an expansive yes or kind of a contracted no, like a pulling towards or kind of a pushing away from something. It's very in the moment. If you're not getting a full body gut response towards something or someone, it either means it is not the right thing or not the right time yet. And your gut never comes with a reason. If you find yourself saying like, I think that I should do this because it might lead to this thing or whatever, not your gut. Your gut is like, feels right, doesn't, don't know why, we'll find out why later. A really powerful way to access your gut response is to have the people around you ask you very specific questions. So if we were going out to dinner, instead of asking like, where do you want to go for dinner? Like, what do you want to do tonight? I would ask you like, do you want to go out or cook at home? Like, do you want to go to this restaurant or this? Like, when you're asked more specific yes, no things, you might have a more immediate, like, that feels right, that doesn't. Whereas an open-ended question can get you straight into your head and you're like, everything's possible, you know? So it's useful to have the people around you give you things to respond to kind of help you connect to that visceral gut knowing.
I love that. That's so spot on. Like, literally my stomach contracts, or I have like a lot of breath moving through me, and that's what informs me immediately.
So wild, right? And there's so much talk out there like follow your gut, listen to your gut. Not all of us have access to that. I don't have that in my body at all. Like, some of us are meant to sleep on things. Other ones is about our intuition. Other people are like here to talk things out. Other people it's about being in the right space. Like, we all have a different way of accessing our truth. And for you, it is just that gut instinct in the moment. And so like, again, just honoring it and trusting it and knowing that your gut knows more than your body, than your mind could ever know. So that is, I definitely recommend people diving into that. And again, not only with yourself, but the people around you, because you might be partnering with or collaborating with somebody that can't decide instantaneously. They need to sleep on things and take their time. So rather than expecting them to move at the pace that you move, it's also giving them like a night or two to really reach their own clarity.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
There are aspects of our design that speak to where we are the most sensitive to other people's energy. And these are both the areas that we can get the most taken off track in our lives and also where we have the most to learn. And so one of the biggest areas for you is around your emotional awareness. You are highly empathic according to your design and very sensitive to what other people are feeling. this can be overwhelming, but also make you incredibly perceptive. So I would say the shadow for you is just like emotional overwhelm, getting lost in what other people are feeling, trying to fix it, like not speaking your truth for fear of like sparking a thing in another person. And the wisdom for you is this just like very calm, empathic nature. It's like having strong boundaries and being aware of what other people are feeling without personalizing it or taking it on as your own. And knowing that one of your biggest lessons is speaking your truth and saying the hard things, and knowing that you will almost always feel better on the other side of confrontation. And because this is one of your biggest lessons, it's also an area in which you're meant to teach other people, like helping other people speak their truth, say the hard things. How does that feel?
It's 100% me. But and hearing you say this feels for me, it really feels for me, to be honest, like I feel very proud right now. Because I am on the healthy side of this. And I remember being younger and not knowing what it felt like to be this overwhelmed. Like I'd walk into a room and I would know what every single person in that room was going through, you know? Mm. And then usually every person in that room would find me at some point and then verbalize that. And it's a lot, you know, it really is. It's a lot. And my deepest desire in nature is to serve and is to be there for people. And so that was always a fight for me for a lot of my life. And in this moment of my life, I'm actually so beautifully boundaried, and it's given me the energy supply to show up in my purpose. I say no so constantly, and I love it. And I say no with love. But I'm so boundaried, and especially around clearing my energy, especially around not taking on the weight of the world and other people. And I feel like I've found a balance of being able to serve with my gifts, but also being able to choose myself as my number one priority. And everyone gets what I'm able to do, not all of me.
Yeah.
And so it feels so good to hear you reflect that, because I'm hearing that. I'm like, wow, like what a gift, my self-investigation and the work that I've been doing in my life has led me to a point where I'm sitting inside what my natural innate way of being is supposed to be.
Yeah. And also that you like are learning and have learned so many of the lessons. Like these areas of our design are often like the most indicative, where it's just like, are we living in the shadow or the wisdom? Because like so much of our life is the evolution from the shadow to the wisdom. So being aware of it really supports us in that journey. But it's also so beautiful to connect with people that are like, I know what that shadow feels like. And I've also done work on myself in a way that I'm no longer living in that. I'm also really just like embracing the gift of the sensitivity that I have, you know? So, and it's so cool because this is also an aspect of our design where you can really understand the impact we have on each other. Because like, while you are very receptive to other people's emotions, there might be certain people in your life that really kind of like set the emotional tone and project out their emotions. And you might be like hypersensitive to what they're feeling. So it's just kind of nice to understand those dynamics, because I think it just like, again, creates a lot more compassion to just like understand exactly what's happening. So some of the other big areas of learning for you, one is around how you like handle stress and pressure. So one of your biggest shadows is being in too much of a hurry and applying a sense of urgency to everything that you do. And just this feeling that like, once I get this thing done, I'll be free. But like the thing is that the pressure never disappears. And so the lesson for you is around really assessing what's worth hurrying for and what's not, and not like, you know, throwing your urgency at everything that comes in your way. And you're also so sensitive to other people's stress. So if you're around somebody that's stressed, you might feel like uber stressed. So the lesson for you is like slowing down, building ease and spaciousness into your life, and really just like knowing what's worth hurrying for and what's not, and being fast when you want to be fast, but not having it be your default. How do you feel like you're doing with that one?
I feel so good.
Yes.
This is like such a beautiful, beautiful gift hearing you say this to me. And it's so interesting because not even interesting, there's no coincidences, you know, it's just very synchronistic for me, because the last couple of months I've really privately been in deep evaluation of myself, and I've been noticing my triggers and my traumas and how I responded or how I occupied space in work, in my home, within myself, with just me over different junctures in my life. And then I've been really savoring and exploring, especially what the gift of the pandemic was. And I think this last year, I really set powerful intention around healing any againstnesses of my innate natural destiny. And way of being. And so I think, you know, things still come up, right? We are all flawed humans with these long, expansive journeys. And what you're saying, yeah, that feels really good, because again, like with really, really investing in nourishing my self-honoring choices and my boundary system, and really coming into my body and knowing what I am actually feeling in each moment, even down to the gut responses that I have that you mentioned. Like sometimes if I have a decision to make, I'll literally feel contractions in my stomach. And if I look down, my stomach will have moved. And so I'm just like, wow, okay, this feels good. Like my healing feels really, really rooted. Give me more. Keep going. What else?
It's so fun, right? Okay. So there are two more big areas you're here to learn, but there are two other pieces of your design that I want to make sure I cover. So we'll come back to those if we have time. But there's an aspect of our design, and these are called our channels, and they're basically known as just like our innate strengths. These are not like super actual pieces of your design. It's not like you have to like work to make them happen, but often when you're living in alignment, they're just there and you just like are expressing in that way. So you have one of my favorite ones. I have it too, which is why it's one of my favorites, but it's called Freak to Genius, which is like such a hilarious name. But it basically means that you're here to bring these like new freaky genius insights into the world. And if you share your like new kind of like light years ahead of everyone else insights before people are ready to hear them, you might be like seen as a freak or just feel like really misunderstood. But if you offer your insights to an audience that is actually ready and receptive, and you've really given so much thought in terms of how to structure them and make it obvious to other people, you're seen as like an absolute genius, you know? And so just knowing that like, you're really here to have like such spontaneous breakthroughs and insights, and you might just like not even know how you know all the things that you know. And the work is to just like guard your knowing, so you only share it with the right people. And also just to like create space for the insights to come. And it feels like you do that beautifully, but they don't come from you being like, I need to figure it out. It's just like, let me just create space, and like, they'll just land. How does that feel to you?
I mean, come on, you're telling me my life. Yeah. And it's so interesting. And I hope through sharing like some of my feedback and process for everyone listening, I'm really hoping that you'll start, if you are not currently looking at yourself with this type of strategy. So like really like being willing to do the observation and the analysis, because there's such gift in it. Like hearing you say that to me, I didn't know that at all about my chart, and it's literally my life. And I think when I used to fight and I wasn't in full acceptance of my innate nature, I used to feel so misunderstood, because I was traveling maybe in circles or having conversations with people that the conversations just couldn't land. It was conversations they weren't ready for. And so then you're feeling like a freak, and people aren't seeing you in your value because they're not speaking your language. But when you speak your language around those you're meant to, then it is like you're greeted. It reminds me kind of that quote of like, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. I never understood that quote when I'd heard it before, but I've been thinking about it recently, because it's like when you're in flow with your destiny and you're in the groupings and in the systems that you're supposed to be, who you are is celebrated. Whoever you are, you're celebrated because you're deeply seen. And so if you're in places where you're feeling like you're fighting, or you're feeling like you're not your full self, or you're feeling depleted, that is not your circle. It's not about earning or getting them to eventually see what you have to offer. It is packing your bag and leaving it entirely, because it's not your place and it's not your people, which is not a judgment of them. They are doing and being who they are supposed to be. But you got to figure out why you were choosing to plant there, and then find that fertile soil to go take root.
Exactly. You know, and just knowing that like, it's going to feel so unsatisfying and cultivate so much bitterness to kind of share all those parts of yourself with people that aren't ready to hear it, you know? And so just like knowing that like the receptivity of your audience really allows you to like And it can be your friends, your community, your family is what actually allows you to like really honor this gift because it's such a powerful one. You have another one around just like rhythm and being in your flow. Basically, like you're just here to find like a powerful flow in every area of your life. And like when you're listening to your gut and trusting it, like things are just meant to feel like so effortless and natural and just happening. And when you're not listening to your gut, it's just like chaos. And so like always asking yourself, like, what could I do to bring myself more into the flow? And also like, you know, I know that having a kid probably makes this difficult at times, but also like not letting people when you can interfere with your flow, you know, really giving yourself space to kind of be in your own flow without interference.
Yeah. I love that. That fits so much.
You also have the strength of shock, which is a very intense name. And it basically means that you have such a gift of transformation, of transforming people out of complacency into an entirely new way of doing things, you know, but similarly, like you've got to make sure they're ready for it, you know, that you're not just like, in, you know, in forcing that transformation before they're ready. But it also means that you're really here to go through quite intense experiences in your own life that just like level up your awareness and just like wake you up, you know, into like just like a new way of being, you know. So it's this ability to actually like withstand shock and evolve and grow. And so like it's that journey in your own life, but also that ability to inspire transformation in others. Do you feel that?
Do I feel that?
It feels like a yes.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah, that's so funny. Yes. All of my centerpiece moments in my life that have been catalysts for change have been utterly shocking. Like utterly like shocking, like some things very much and shocking in the way that it's like melodramatic, like a Lifetime movie. You know what I mean? Like I find that all of the catalysts for immense growth and change. Even when I think about, I got divorced in a global pandemic. You know, when you think about those really pinnacle moments in your life and what it actually really deeply offered you. And so, yeah, I relate to that so much.
Yeah. And again, just like really trusting that journey, you know, and knowing that so much of your work is around having the courage to like take the leap and see what's on the other side. And again, like it's a really powerful journey you're going through, but you're also here to inspire transformation in so many others. And the last kind of powerful strength you have there is around just like when you're so self-empowered and in trust of your own direction and where you're going, you are a natural way shower for other people. You inspire them to connect to their own direction, their own sense of purpose. Like you just bring new direction wherever you go, you know? And so like, but it requires that you're so aligned with it yourself. Like, and that's the thing that ripples out and has the impact that you're meant to.
What a gift. What a gift. What a gift it is to be alive right now and to even have access to this moment, to your genius, to this beautiful technology for our existence. You know, like when I hear stuff like this, Erin, it really, you know, one, it's fun, right? Like I'm kind of thrilled to hear, you know, that I'm like on track with myself. Like I might have a little celebration later, you know, because it felt, I feel really seen right now. And I feel really grateful that my heart has been so willing to do some of the deeper work so that I can arrive in the beautiful way that you express it, in the wisdom and not in the shadow, you know, and being able to arrive in the wisdom is really, it's being willing to explore those shadows. And shadow work is something I have fallen so deeply in love with and find such beauty in. And so, and I think, you know, what a gift. Like, it's not lost on me that you and I in 2021 are having this conversation and the depth and the access it gives to us, and not the majority of people in generations that preceded us didn't have this, you know? And I think there is so much grace and gratitude in that, even as we kind of maybe experience people within our own family systems that are from older generations. It's like coming into our humility and grace, like this is this moment in time. Collective consciousness has risen to this moment in time to allow us to know ourselves as deeply.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes. you know, and it is so, and it just feels like people are so ready for it. You know, I shared a little bit about my journey, but like when I first started working with human design from 2015 to 2017, like it just like wasn't landing, you know, and not that like the people that I was working with, it was landing with, but like, it was just like, people were not really interested. It felt like very new and different and like out there. And it really wasn't until 2018 that it just like started to take hold in a totally different way. And I've just seen such a wild, amazing growth over the past 3 years of just like such receptivity and such openness to human design in a way that just like wasn't even there 6 years ago.
Yes.
You know? And so it's so beautiful to kind of witness the expansion and the growth that so many people are going through. And I think that I expected so much reluctance and so much skepticism, and I've encountered so little of it.
Oh my God. And it's so interesting, even, that's so, I've been thinking a lot, especially about 2017, 2018, like something significantly shifted on the planet at that time. And our consciousness was accelerated in immense ways. And I've talked about this here on the show before, but I think about this all the time. You know, when I think about even like the Me Too movement was such a massive catalyst for our collective consciousness, and it ushered in so much healing for so many different communities and so much activation of that throat chakra for so many different communities, specifically in service to healing ancestral trauma, whether that is ancestral trauma of the feminine, ancestral trauma of BIPOC community. You know, everything now is, and also it came with Trump, you know, everything is being purged to such an extent so we can see without the veil and really take stock of who are we? What does our collective look like? What does this world look like? And what do we really want? Because all this has been BS. And all this has actually been like gaslighting. Like it's been a country of gaslighting and sociopathy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the ways we operated were so unnatural to what I believe is natural law and divine love. And it feels like, to your point, it's like when I feel like you got called into this work at this time so you can be in mastery for this moment.
Totally. It was just preparation before.
Yeah. Yes. And I feel that way about my own work, because I think when I started, when I left my previous career and I moved into the mindfulness space, half the work I did was just getting people to listen to me, just saying, hey, meditation isn't anti-God. This isn't the devil. Like those were the kind of conversations I'd have to have before leading a meditation in my community when I got started in like 2015, 2016 as a business. And then now it's like, oh, like spirit came in and kind of collectively brought some healing to earth that gave many of us now a baseline or a foundation. And so it's less about the education and more about the process.
And being in it, you know, and it feels like, and it feels like there's been so much preparation, and now it's just like, there's so much receptivity and people are so ready. So like, I just think that like, you know, especially over this past year, I feel like so many people that I've worked with, like, you know, I saw such growth, and I see like where people were just like, I'm ready for this. I want this. Like, I'm just like no longer tolerating what I've been doing. Things like, I want a new way. And I think the magic of human design and a lot of other systems out there is it returns us to ourselves. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you like, you should do this thing with your life, but I will remind you of the way that you operate best so you can assess that for yourself. Can I share one more piece about your design with you?
I mean, yes.
Okay. So there's a really cool aspect of our design called our profile, and there are 12 different profiles in human design. You and I have the same one. It's called the 6-2. And basically what it means, and I'm so curious if this resonates, there are two pieces to it. One is that like, there's a bit of a hermit nature to your design. This doesn't mean that you're meant to be like hermetic all the time, but just like having regular time and space. And it feels like you do this naturally with your spiritual practice, especially in the evenings, to kind of just like pull away and be in your own energy and your own space and your own flow. Like, it brings you such harmony. So giving yourself space for that is so key. Also knowing that you're just meant to be a natural at what you do. Like, you might find that you can't always explain how you do what you do. You just do it. Like, you just like, you bring such an innate genius and gift to whatever it is you do. And so in some ways it's releasing the need to explain it and just trusting that. I know that was like such a big lesson for me. So I have one more piece I want to share, but how does that land for you?
Oh my God. Do we go together now? Like, I just feel so seen. Oh yeah. That fits.
It's so good. Yeah.
And it's so funny. And I'm kind of offering like a little bit more of these explanations because I want to ground the process of how, if anyone listening is getting this done, which I highly recommend, and Erin is going to be tagged with all her stuff in this episode. the way you can kind of evaluate it. And so it's interesting, like you sharing that. So I'm an extrovert, and like by the Myers-Briggs system, I'm an ENFJ. I'm very much really okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect sense. Very, we are so aligned. And you know, I'm an extrovert, but I crave being alone. I crave alone time. I cannot function without it. And I used to just think, well, maybe it's because I'm an only child and that's like, that was my foundation. But no, like I have to have alone time to live, like to be alive, mm-hmm. to operate, to be in my purpose, to be in my gifts, to be in my sovereignty. I have to have those hermit modes. I have to carve out hours in my day where I'm alone and I'm in ritual or prayer or meditation, or I'm nourishing myself in some way. And I think because society, especially for women, so often would frame that, you know, even when you think of parenting, they'll say like, oh, give mom a break. How about let's create a lifestyle that creates mm-hmm. a flow that each of us are allowed to be our full selves. And so I think I used to really limit that side of me because society was calling it selfish. Or it was just expected that you deny yourself. And I really started giving that a hard look a few years ago and really hit my groove in the pandemic of stopped watching television completely. My social plans, well, we're in a pandemic, so they went, you know, out the door. But mm-hmm. really, just really saying you don't need to be around people. You don't need to do just because you're invited. You don't got to say yes. Like, mm-hmm. what is your deepest priority? And for me, that's mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah. And it's all about balance. You know, none of us are meant to be alone all the time, you know, and also none of us meant to be like around people all the time, you know? And I think for you, it's just that, like, again, be around people when you're inspired 100% and you're meant to be such a teacher for others, which requires being around others. But like the time alone and the pulling away is the most restorative thing you can do, you know? And I find that, especially during the past year, a lot of people that had this profile, they're like, ooh, finally get some space and time, just like be in my own energy. I have to imagine it's different with a child, but like, it really is just, again, such a restorative thing. And then the other part of your profile, it's around the fact that you're here to be a role model and a teacher, you know, like you really are, you inspire trust in people. You're a natural authority. Like your gift is like carrying like a bird's eye view. Like you're really here to like step back, witness the whole thing and have a very like objective and optimistic perspective on where things are going. When you get like too in the details, you can also get quite pessimistic. So just like pulling back, observing, offering your perspective, like you're such a witness. But what comes with this is that we tend to live our life in three phases. And so the first 30 years of your life is meant to be like a huge time of trial and error. It's like a time to make all the mistakes in the world, experience as much as you can. Not a great time to make big commitments, but so often we do. But it's basically a time to experience it all and not really figure any of it out. 30 to 50 is a time of like really processing everything you've learned, integrating your wisdom in a deeper and deeper way, investing in all the things that do work, finding more stability if you want it. And you're meant to hit your prime when you turn 50. And this doesn't mean that there's anything to wait for. It just means that it's meant to keep getting better because you're really here to become like a living example of authenticity, where there's such a gravity to your energy as you get older, where you just inspire people to become them, be themselves by just like living it yourself. And I think that like, I discovered human design when I was 25, you know, I was like, I want to be a role model now. And I think it was such a lesson that like, there's nothing to wait for. It just keeps getting better. And I've been around so many people in this third phase. And like, there is a true gravity to their energy. I'm around them. It's like, tell me everything, you know? So just, I think having that trust and also knowing you're in such a precious phase of witnessing, investing, processing right now.
Gosh, that's so beautiful. God. Oh, you gave me chills. Yeah, that's so beautiful. And even I would love to reflect to you, Erin, like what a gift you are. Like your way of being and your way of really divinely translating this work. You know, I can speak for myself, but I know you have such a massive platform. And so everyone that connects with you feels this way. But it's what a gift to really see someone and give them the ability to see themselves at such a deep level of acceptance and love and grace. And it's so beautiful.
Thank you for saying that. I think that I received that, and it really, like, it's so fun for me, you yeah. know? And I think that, like, once I had, and human design is a lifelong study, you know, but I think that once I had enough mastery, like, I've just been able to flow with it and be much more intuitive in the way that I share the information. And that has felt so much more natural than, like, just regurgitating the things that I read. So it's so fun for me now, because it just feels playful and experimental and intuitive.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing and what you're saying too, it's like, it goes from this being what you're recognizing as, like, maybe an innate curiosity and calling, to then, like, the deeper aboding and embodiment of your purpose. And mm-hmm. the way that totally. That feels to express that work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, like, I have that same profile as you do. So much of the gift that we both carry is just bringing, like, an innate genius and gift to whatever it is we do that's inexplicable. And so it's also just, like, leaning into our way of doing things, even if it's, like, different or we can't always explain it. So it feels like it's been a real journey of, like, finding out what that looks like for me.
Oh my gosh. This has been such an amazing interview. I am so grateful for your time. We're going to connect the links to all of these things, but I'd love to share right now with everyone, your Instagram page is Erin Claire Jones, mm-hmm. spelled exactly Erin Claire Jones. Everybody needs to go check this out. And I'm already like, I don't even know if you do one-on-ones, but I know it's about to get lit.
I do share a lot on Instagram. If you look up your type, you're going to find so much kind of information in terms of how to integrate that. A beautiful place to get started is I offer something called the Blueprint, which is a 30+ page, it's actually about to be quite a bit longer, but like a written guide to your unique design that walks you through all the key pieces. So everything we talked about today, but in written form. And it really is meant to just be like a written manual to you that you keep returning to. It's really just meant to make the information as, like, accessible and empowering as possible. I make each of them not for, like, a whole lot longer, but right now I do. And it's just, like, it's an amazing resource to you to have. So my website is erinclairejones.com. Oh yeah, go ahead.
I was like, I'll be adding that to cart for myself, because I'm like, I need to get this transcribed.
No, it's the best, because, like, I've had people that got it 3 years ago, you know what I mean? And they still go back every month, every week to just, like, check in, especially moments of resistance, just to remember. Then I also offer a workshop called Flow, which is really an exploration of how to use your design to move out of resistance and into flow in your life. So the discount code Dropping Gems will be for both of those. And then I also do offer one-on-one sessions and partnership sessions and family sessions and team sessions. If you want to kind of dig deeper one-on-one. And so the discount code doesn't apply for those, just because I don't offer discount codes for those, but it's all on my website.
Thank you so much. Yes. I highly recommend everyone. And speaking to the point you just made too about revisiting it, what I think, mm-hmm. And I know this will be a fit for some listening, when you invest in getting this kind of powerful insight into your life and this kind of powerful work done, it is not so you can kind of read it and be a little tickled by it in the moment and then put it on a shelf. I look over the Book of Devi that I've created for myself. I look over it all the time, several times mm-hmm. a week. I look over mm-hmm. it all the time. I am always checking in with myself, always observing, always seeing, you know, what could feel a little more aligned, what could feel like a freer, more nourishing life for myself. And so when you invest in this work, please don't just read it and put it on a shelf. Even if it feels triggering and you don't understand it, stick with it, like work with it. Keep it as part of your daily practice, you know, especially as you're on the road of self-investigation and mastery. Keep checking in as it's clicking. And then maybe, mm-hmm. you know, take some time away to process and embody. But Erin, I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you for this just utterly delicious reading.
Such a pleasure.
It was such a joy and a confirmation for me. And thank you so much for generously gifting us the discount code mm-hmm. of Dropping Gems on mm-hmm. your website, Erin Claire Jones, on your Instagram, Erin Claire Jones. Highly recommend for everyone. Thank you so much. Hey, find me on social. Let's connect. At Devi Brown, that's Twitter and Instagram, or go to my website, devibrown.com. And if you're listening to this show on Apple Podcasts, please, please, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And send this episode to a friend. Dropping Gems is a production of iHeartRadio and the Black Effect Network. It's produced by Tribble and me, Devi Brown. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.